Conscious monkeys, before we start the show, I must warn you that there are ads throughout this podcast episode. If you'd like to get the show ad-free, you're able to get access by downloading the official Traveling to Consciousness app. It's available in the Google Play Store and iOS Store. I will note that there is a small monthly fee associated to get these episodes ad-free. And this is an important part. Make sure that any purchases you make on the website, travelingtoconsciousness.com, because products are going to be 15 to 30% more expensive through the app, because, you know, the big boys got to get their own check. Even though you're purchasing this stuff through the website, you will still be able to enjoy all this content on the app. Now, if you prefer the free route, you can get a free login on the app, and that will grant you access to challenges and notifications when new episodes arrive, discounts, exclusive content, and so much more. All of this just by searching Traveling to Consciousness in your phone's app store, or click the link below. Now, Conscious Monkeys, let's get the show started.
Exploring spiritual journeys to find answers in uncertainty.
What is up, conscious monkeys? Welcome to another episode of Traveling to Consciousness. As always, I am your host, Clayton Q. Terry. Today's guest is the co-host of the Medicine Podcast, which is in reference to nature's medicine, but of course we'll get to that. I was introduced to Chase because he was on Christina Rice's podcast and was talking about healing and the wounded masculine. And it was really a theme that just kept coming up that week for me. And so I was like, damn, I kind of realized that I had no idea even what a healed masculine energy felt or seemed like. I had some guesses, but I thought better to just bring the man on the podcast and ask him himself. And I think that that actually is going to tie into an interesting story that he has. And it sounds like you share this quite a bit regarding like your wife and your journey to, you know, figuring out all your stuff there, which hopefully can help people, I assume. I'm dragging out the intro. So without further delay, Conscious Monkeys, welcome to the show, Chase Rami. Chase, thank you for being here.
Man, so grateful to be here. Excited to chat through all of this. Happy to share my story. I'm a complete open book, and it's deep conversations like this that it's my love language. It's what it's my hobby. It's what makes me feel present and find bliss. And so I just appreciate you setting the container for that today.
Dude, I love that because it's definitely my love language as well. So hopefully your wife won't mind if we make some love on this podcast right here.
No way, man. And actually, technically she's my ex-wife still to this day. Technically still my ex-wife, but she's my multi-lifetime soul match, my puzzle piece. She's my everything. But it is funny because we're technically still divorced.
Oh, interesting. Okay, yeah. Well, before we get into that, that definitely sets a good cliffhanger. I want to start off like the first thing you wanted to be when you grew up, because for me, and maybe somehow you could work in the wounded masculine aspect of, or just at least your view of maybe masculinity with regards to emotion kind of in your answer as well, because I think that would really set the stage for this whole thing. So the question is what was the first thing that you wanted to be whenever you grew up?
You know, the first thing that I can actually remember would be a firefighter. What's funny about that though, is that was before, a major change in my youth, which, put me into youth athletics and youth sports. And so I have this very faint, almost like simple flashback of wanting to be a firefighter. But it was shortly thereafter that I jumped into playing sports, you know, probably preschool, kindergarten age, and then ingrained in my psyche for 15 to 20 years was professionally playing basketball. And so I did like extreme, club athletics as it pertained to basketball. Mostly I played 11 to 12 months a year all through my youth, and ended up playing college and kind of going through a small college basketball. But it was always like playing professional college or professional basketball, playing college basketball, and it sort of like trickled down into the point where you get to college and you're like, okay, I can't do this forever. But that was definitely it. And it's funny, a lot of my sort of like story and understanding of masculinity really does come from that athletics background. You know, so much of masculinity is embodied in competition, and it's expressed in competition, whether it's, you know, balanced or out of balance. It is a very sort of masculine approach to doing something. And so it was very much a chest pounding, you know, grunting, cutthroat masculine expression, which arguably is healthy or not healthy, depending on how you look at it and how you interact with that. With that kind of play. But that's really my kind of background on what I wanted to do and what I wanted to be.
And there's an interesting thing here with the idea of competition, because going back to it, this is something that I've been thinking about as well, where I trained jiu-jitsu, and for the first like year and a half, 2 years, I competed quite a bit, exposed a lot to myself. But then as I've kind of been going on this journey, this evolutionary journey, it's like I kind of came to what you were saying, this idea of competition, this idea of, you know, almost like, I don't want to say winner and loser, because there's a saying in jiu-jitsu where you either win or you learn. And so it's kind of put me in this interesting phase where I always know that like, if I compete, I learn, but there's also this like, okay, is competition a healthy dynamic? Because we should be living in this energy of abundance, because everything is abundant. But then in the frame of competition, there's only one winner. So what would kind of be your opinion on that?
Yeah. You know, I've thought about this as well. And for me, it comes down to attachment to outcome and the difference between play and a, you know, pursuit of winning or dominating or some level of hierarchy. And so as it pertains to like sports of any nature, I think the fine line of whether it's play or true sort of, you know, competition / achievement oriented pursuit just comes down to how attached you are to the outcome of winning or losing. And I think for most of my athletic career and just like life in general, right, it's a competitive world. I'm in the business world as well. And it's a, you know, it's a blood sport, they like to say. And I think when you attach an expectation to an outcome, you know, winning, and you're attached to that as it pertains to what you're playing, you are missing out on the benefits of play. I think competition is healthy. Just depends on how you define it. Would you kill someone to get the win? Or is it this sort of like commitment to bringing the best version of yourself and where, you know, sharpening can take place through the mirror of competition, that is the person or the team that you're competing against. And then I think if you're able to remove expectation, sit in the present moment of what it feels like to play, what it feels like to step into flow. I think the arena of sports is one of the most clear and maybe even few lanes that we can experience that flow state where you've lost your rational mind. You're completely in the moment and you experience bliss and awe and play of the present. But I think those only really happen when you're not so fixated upon an outcome. Most of the time that outcome is either winning or like literally defeating somebody else, having yourself higher up on a hierarchy.
Yeah, there's two really amazing things I think you said there. And one of them is attachment. And then the other one's how you're talking about like business being a blood sport. And so I want to touch on the attachment first, because that's a really interesting point, because I know if you look up like the history, not the history, but like their soccer matches in Europe, where fans will get so pissed off that they've actually killed referees over decisions like in the game. And so that really highlights what you're talking about with the idea of like this attachment to outcome, the attachment to a perfect person, right? Like the ref should be perfect, you know, kind of right. Breeds in there. And so if you're able to release the attachment of outcome, you know, I guess that's where you can kind of see these things shine. Like I know whenever, you know, there's a reason we enjoy watching people at the pinnacle of what they're doing, right? It's because they're the best of the best and they are almost dancing or towing that line of excellence, right? They're the masters of their craft, right? It's like, it's why we're drawn to it. It's why we're drawn to the best NFL teams. It's why we're drawn to the best NBA teams. It's why everybody wants to watch the black belt finals of jiu-jitsu and nobody really cares about an open invitational of white belt, you know? And so that's a really interesting point that you bring up there. And then kind of moving back, I think almost to the blood sport. And this is what's interesting to me is it almost like, I mean, that sounds to me as if it comes from that wounded masculine energy of, you know, I need to be almost using somebody else as my, let's say, measuring stick. Like, oh, this company who's a, if I'm a real estate company and I see another real estate company makes, you know, my money plus times two, it's like, oh, now I need to outdo them. And I think, and maybe that's where it sounds like the wounded masculine comes in, as opposed to just being like, no, I'm here. I can just do what I did last year plus a little bit more.
Yeah, totally. I think kind of the next phase of this challenge when it comes to having an attachment or an obsession with an outcome would be how you identify yourself. And we've been groomed, especially masculinity has been groomed to find your self-worth through external achievements, you know, through other people's validation, through your labels, through your, you know, if it's the business world, it's your resume and your accolades and your salary and your assets. You know, in the religious kind of background and where I come from was like evangelical Christianity. It was like not sinning and how many times you can go to church and the amount of charity that you're providing. Do you have a family? Do you have a wife? Do you have kids? Do you have no divorces under your belt? And so we look at this sort of like we have an attachment to an outcome because we're so obsessed with accumulating and achieving enough that we can sort of like externalize onto our life's resume and say, this is my identity. We become attached not only to outcomes of our projects, but then to that identity. And every time we get to a point in our life where something is challenging those definitions that we've created for ourselves, that's where we either have to face an egoic death or we double down and become numb to the potential of a contradictory idea, thought, and God forbid, your own identity actually comes from within you. And it's not this sort of like externalized accumulation of enough achievements in life that that validates your worth in existing.
Yeah, because that's certainly a huge trap you could fall into, you know, if it's, you know, you need to be making X dollars and it's that external pleasure seeking. And then it's also probably creates that identification with that certain item. And so then is that kind of how you would define almost where the wounded masculine almost begins?
Yeah. I think it's that, there's probably, you know, a lot to this, but at least like bring it back to my life and my experience. My innate self is pretty gentle. I'm not like the most alpha masculine, chest pounding. Like I'm not this huge, like, you know, behemoth of a man. And I think that the gentle part of me, this a part that can actually has a stronger feminine, is more of the magician and lover archetype of masculinity innately. I was self-conscious about expressing that as a boy, and as such, stifled it, buried it, in fact. And I think what turned as a result from that was just a more out of balance expression of masculinity, anger, hostility, super competitive. And so I think so much of this comes down to just like where we're allowed to express our innate archetypes of our own masculinity, and then the process to mature from boy or immature masculine into man, mature masculine archetype. I think there's the general, you know, rite of passage. Many people have talked about it that's somewhat missing in the world of 2022 when it comes to most men and most masculine energies, I should say, because it can be female or male. But if you're in a dominant masculine essence, there is such a healthy process of having gone through a rite of passage to just mature into, you know, king level archetype, mature masculine archetype. And I think that is missing generally from our culture, at least in my life. There wasn't a structured rite of passage process. So I sort of had to like stumble around, kind of like spew my toxic wounded masculine in a couple different lanes until I got enough feedback that I had to double down on finding myself through my life experience, sort of walk into my own rite of passage, if you will, and come out on the other side with a little more perspective on what it means to be mature masculinity. And I think we as a culture, we think about masculinity and it's this sort of like toxic version that is wealthy and achieved a lot and is very alpha. And we don't necessarily know the steps to get there. So we turn into kind of like the standard fuckboy, or the try to make as many millions as quick as possible, instead of sitting back and sort of like learning and being the student and running your life through different experiences, in addition to, you know, study and being patient and present. I think there's such a natural progression of like student to teacher to master to king that is missed, and we just want all of that king-like energy immediately. Unfortunately, most of us are sitting in a like high chair tyrant posing mm-hmm. as a king seat or hat, if you will.
Yeah, so there's a couple things that you're touching on here that I think are super important to discuss. The first one, which is like the four masculine archetypes, which I've read that book briefly, and they're loosely, from what I remember, the king, magician, lover, warrior. So I'd love to talk about those at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. But
there's also something you briefly discussed that, and I've had this conversation with very intelligent people, and for some reason it's hard for them to wrap their mind around. And maybe this is a conversation that gets lost on our generation, but it's the conversation of masculine energy and feminine energy versus gender, which is like male and female. So are you able to elaborate a little bit on, you know, that? I have my own beliefs and I have my own way of articulating it, but I'd love to hear how you can articulate the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. So from my perspective, there's masculine and feminine energy, polarity. They exist on a pole, you know, yin and yang, however you want to define that, the alpha, the omega. Masculine is more penetrating. It's a container. It's safety. It's stability. It's structured. It's logical, rational. You know, femininity is free. It is creative. It's flowy. It's a little more diverse in the sense of, in how it, you know, operates into the world. It is receiving. And these are just poles on, you know, a pole of energy that predominantly males sit on a more masculine dominant essence, and females predominantly sit in a feminine dominant essence. That being said, I believe there are many who are gender masculine or male, but have a more feminine essence, maybe even a dominant feminine essence, and vice versa. And I guess that's not for me to, like, you know, analyze and figure out who is what profile. I just think it's something that we can all be aware of and not necessarily have to get caught up in. But generally, when I speak, like on my podcast, I'm referring to masculinity mostly for males. And I like to make that caveat and disclaimer before pretty much any episode that we talk about it on. So generally, I'm referring to males and masculinity. That being said, I think there's been so much confusion, and especially in like the times that we live in, we've had wounded masculine, toxic masculine, sort of like just spraying everything, patriarchal dominance, like for generations. But we're also walking into this weird lane where the feminine and women have, through Me Too movement, through various women's rights initiatives, all of which I think are beautifully healthy and super supportive of this rebalancing of the masculine and the feminine in our culture and in our world. I do think that sometimes it slips into the feminine, most of the time women, putting on a masculine hat in order to what they perceive as progress the feminine. When in many cases that I've seen, they're actually taking on an embodying masculinity in an out of balanced version of masculinity. And so it's not that they shouldn't be masculine or shouldn't be comfortable in their masculine. It's that the expression, which they sort of perceive as deepening the feminine, or at least rebalancing society's masculine and feminine, is a pursuit that's run through a masculine version that is out of balance, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And what's interesting to me is kind of the, I'm not sure if you can hear my dog barking in the background. She's going a little crazy right now.
All good.
she's excited for the masculine conversation. What was really interesting in that kind of, you know, what you laid out there is kind of how, you know, this balance of energies that's kind of going on within our society, this, that restructuring of like trying to kind of reclaim the femininity, but almost in a masculine way. It's almost like they're playing it. This is kind of hard because I feel like you would need examples to be exact.
Yeah. And like, so, you know,
I don't want to.
Yeah. Examples that come off the top of my head. And again, I mean this in no harm if this offends anybody, but women, and I'm so grateful for this. They have so many more opportunities in the world that we live in today than they did like in the 50s. And surely, you know, even before that, right? Like we've been in thousands of years of kind of this male dominated world culture. It's everything from religion to business to politics. And more than ever, women can be CEOs. You know, they can have a successful business career, and it's not everywhere, but there's more lanes than there probably historically ever has been for women to succeed in a masculine world. What that oftentimes means is that they've developed a really strong masculine, so much so that it becomes a shell for their own femininity. And they walk back into, let's just say, the home environment where they have a husband and where they have kids. And now they've got two masculines sitting in the home environment, basically running a business instead of a family. And forget sexual polarity, forget that beautiful dance between the natural masculine and the natural feminine, because there is such a shell on the deep truth of the feminine heart because of her layers that she's put on to be successful in this masculine dominated world, this male dominated world. And the same is true for men. I think husbands, men who are in relationship, maybe even have families, it's a hard time to navigate. Typically, men have been able to get away with, you know what, all I need to do is provide. I don't have to sort of emotionally develop because, you know, women are, you know, we're talking like 30s, 40s, 50s, right? Let's just say women are not out in the workplace. They can't be independent because of the limitations of culture. Well, now they're sitting and men are like, damn, I need to sort of step up because she can provide for herself. She can support herself. And so those contributions into a relationship, let's say, aren't as valuable. I need to sharpen myself emotionally. And so and where that gets challenging is like, now you have a masculine in your wife who's been successful in a masculine world. And now you're sitting in your masculine space and she's needing more. How do you out alpha her or out masculine her such that she can find her feminine and sit in this nice balance? And I think a lot of times what happens is the wife or the partner who's female will come into the dynamic with more of a masculine than the actual man. And the man might resort to sitting in his feminine just to create polarity. And so he sort of like sits back. And again, this isn't a balanced feminine. It's probably an out of balanced feminine. I do think that you can have a really, really successful relationship dynamic with a female who is masculine dominant and a male who is feminine dominant, and you can thus achieve polarity. I think that's beautiful and totally possible. The challenge is, I don't know if people have the awareness of that energetic balance, nor have the tools to be able to navigate between the two. And you can switch, you can rotate. My partner and I are business owners of the same business. She sits as a masculine in so many lanes. And so instead of us both coming to the dinner table at night in alpha, we have to pick up on the subtle energies of where and when we need to shift into another spot. Maybe it's her fatigued masculinity that I need to sit back into my feminine, become a little more nurturing, rub her feet that night, you know, give her some level of comfort and affirmation because she needs that. Or vice versa. There are times when her feminine is nutrition to my masculine. And it's just a matter of like being able to pick up on those energies. So less concerned with like your dominance, your essence. And I think more importantly, focusing on picking up where those energies sit. How do I polarize the moments that need to be polarized and go from there?
That's a really interesting way you put that, because it's almost like there's a dance of energies that's kind of occurring. And
yeah.
Conscious monkeys, I need to tell you about these psychedelic fabric mushrooms that are absolutely incredible that have just come across. They're all one of a kind and are honestly a perfect trip buddy. They're an incredible addition to anyone's like house or room. You take psychedelics and you have a certain spot that you like to go and relax, you're going to have to check out these Aquarius mushrooms. These high-end mushrooms are made with 100% recycled material and are all one of a kind. Honestly, these mushrooms are something I'm not going to be able to describe in words alone. You're going to need to check out the link below and search to see if you can find one that resonates with your soul. Remember, they're all one of a kind and made from 100% recycled material. Aquarius mushrooms. Premium mushrooms for the new age of enlightenment. Get yours today. And with that being said, conscious monkeys, let's get back to the interview.
Maybe from what I've seen, where it starts to go south is whenever one person feels like they need to go the extreme opposite in order to find what they're looking for, almost. It's like, you know, and maybe I think it probably usually is whenever the gender, because that's probably whenever it gets weird, right? Is like if the genders are reversed. So like if you're doing a female, a masculine female, and then a feminine man, it feels like, and maybe this is just my limitation, but it seems like that's whenever they will start to try to either go even more unhealthy directions where the female will become even more masculine, the male will become even more feminine. And then it's like neither one can actually find that balance within that yin and yang to feel full in a sense.
Yeah. And I do wonder if it has to do with the way that our world has defined femininity and masculinity. And so when people try to deepen their masculine or deepen their feminine, they follow the definitions of our society and our culture and end up being toxic versions of them instead of understanding the yin and the yang. Like, let's just use the example of
Some examples.
Yeah.
Like what's healthy.
Yeah. So like, let's talk about masculinity. What was clearly out of balance for me was, I was hot tempered. I was powerful in the sense that, you know, I was physically stronger than my significant other. I could rationalize and compartmentalize and intellectualize significantly better. But where was safety? Where was containment? You know, the masculine is the platform for the feminine. It's, she's the fire, you're the fireplace. I'm the banks of the river, she's the river itself. It's containing energy. I think that masculinity in the way that our world defines it is more like a blacksmith, where we're literally pounding, we're penetrating a sharp, deep, aggressive, and that looks like the uber dominant kind of patriarchal history that mankind has been through. I would argue that masculinity is more balanced through the analogy, instead of a blacksmith, of actually like a potter, like an artist who is creating pots out of clay. They are penetrating, they're penetrating the clay, but only in a way that contains the feminine, that contains the art. And it's a penetrating guidance such that femininity can blossom and be free with that container. If there's no comfortable, safe container, the fire can go wild. It can be extremely dangerous and frightening. I think that's scared men forever. They'd rather have no fire than be able to contain it. So that's what we've done. You know, going back to the water example, The feminine's like water. It's like the ocean. It's like a river. We've put it in a freaking kiddie pool in the yard and made sure that it has no current, because that's safer than trying to contain the ocean. But masculinity in its fullest is about containing the ocean. It is about, you can't control the feminine. You know, just like water, you can't reach in and grab water. It'll slip through your fingers. All we can do is direct, support, nurture it such that it can be channeled for something beautiful, channeled for something powerful. So it's this like penetrating container, but not penetrating and like flattening and ironing. I mean, think about, blacksmith makes weapons of war. A potter makes art.
It works. It works. It's useful too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the potter is actually, and it's, I think I heard you say that analogy with the blacksmith and the potter on Christina's, and
yeah.
I didn't listen to the entire episode, but after I heard that, I know I like started, I journal a lot, and I remember writing like, I am a potter. I am a potter.
For sure.
I really like that. And so where my mind's kind of going with this is that I feel like it's easy to physically see if you're in a relationship with someone. If you have another person, you can kind of feel it or you can kind of see it. The next level to it, though, is to be able to find that balance of energies, I think, within yourself.
Yeah.
Like, how do you almost find that balance of being a potter without having any water? Like, yeah. let's speak for a masculine male. How yep. would you find that mixture?
Totally. Let's use an example. I think that men and masculinity at large is, and I'm just from here on out, if I say men, I'm speaking about masculinity. How, and maybe I'll ask you this question. Have you ever felt like, say it's a new project, say it's a family dynamic, a friend dynamic, or a work dynamic, and you've been either tasked with, or you are feeling compelled to fix something, and that your masculinity is required to save something? Have you felt that at all in any lane, work lane, family, friends?
I mean, I guess with my podcast, like a new idea will come to me and I have to physically do to implement it. I guess I don't know if that comes from a masculine place or if that, I mean, because creation feels like a feminine thing, right?
Yeah.
But where are you kind of, I guess, I'm not sure where you're going with the analogy.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. So like, I think oftentimes we want to, let's say you've read a new book or you've been through a course and you are on, it's about masculinity maybe, and you're so on fire for implementing these practices. You're like, fucking tomorrow, I'm going to just freaking hit the ground running. I'm going to hit, you know, all these steps, the 10 steps on balancing my masculinity. I'm going to hit all of them tomorrow. I'm going to do this for the next week, every single day. That is an example of taking something that is, it's, you know, this information, this creative flow that's coming into you as you consume this content is feminine. It's a feminine interaction. And as you step into applying those, we have this tendency to, I got to do this ASAP. I got to get it done now. I got to implement these processes. I'm going to put it on my calendar. It's like uber productivity, hyper efficiency. Here's the 10 steps to be successful. Here's the, you know, all of the sales and marketing steps. Get this efficient, get it done now. That is where the out of balance masculine jumps in and tries to fix everything. Either for somebody else, you know, you see it in relationship. Your partner is going through something challenging. She's expressing herself emotionally. You're like, holy shit, how can I help? I need to fix this. Let's work on this together. We'll come up with a solution. Here's all my ideas for a solution. That's the blacksmith. The balanced masculine is contained. It's containing, it's present, it is grounded. And so as you're absorbing this information, our tendency through our grooming of masculinity, you're so fired up about this personal development book, you've just been through this course, you've just listened to this podcast, you're going to hit the ground running tomorrow. That is blowing your load immediately. You know, that is pre-ejaculation as a metaphor for masculinity is contained and grounded, and it's timely and it's okay. I am confident that I'll be able to embody this. It will happen when it needs to happen. I'm going to have every intention of fulfilling what I'm setting out to do. I'm going to be very conscious about it, but I'm removing my attachment to an outcome. I'm removing my obsession with the externalization of all of these to-dos such that I can, you know, follow the protocols that I've just learned, and I will sit in containment of this feminine, of this idea, of this creation. Is that making sense?
It makes absolute sense. And I have the perfect example that I actually just happened to me today, where I had this TikTok video I put out that went just absolutely bonkers. Like, I can't even like look at my phone anymore because it's just so insane. Like, yeah. If I like refresh on the followers, like five more people, it's like just now followed. I'm like, it's stupid. And so what happened was, is because of that video going off, I realized that I needed to make what would you call it? Like a digital course, or I'm going to make a digital course. That's kind of like this preamble to that, because I'm like, okay, if this is the information people want, I'm getting distracted though. The point is, though, is I needed to make a landing page that then had emails kind of go out so that people knew that they were like in line for this verification and whatnot. Now, I like all this came to me basically last night. I started implementing it this morning and, you know, I was pounding away at it but it was like inspired action almost. It wasn't like I was forcing to do it. It just felt like flow. Well, I came to this point where I tested the I tested the, what would you call it? I tested the, like the pipeline. So like I signed in a dummy email and I got the email to come through, but then the subject line was off. It was like completely wrong and everything. And I couldn't find it. And I started getting like worked up. I'm like, where is it? Like the subject line should be easy to fix. Where is it? Like, and I felt this like, I don't want to call it anger, but like at least like almost like trying to be the blacksmith essentially, where I was like, I have to find it. I have to do it. And then this voice creeped into me. It's like, just let go. Just come back to it. I went outside. I sat in the sun for 30 minutes, maybe 45 minutes, came back to my laptop, and somehow I magically found the location to fix the title on the email, which I was like, how did I not find this earlier? You know, it's just, it's so wild. And that's something that has happened multiple times with creating, you know, different things for the podcast.
Yeah, dude, that's a perfect example. And it trickles into every lane. It trickles into our relationships. And when we jump into action and blow our load immediately, we stifle the feminine. We stifle the creative flow. Or we don't act upon our masculine desire to achieve, which is very natural. And we let the feminine's wildness and complexity completely burn us up. You know, it's the fire that we're not able to contain, so we let it run wild because we're either afraid of how to be still and contain it. So we sit back and we just let it run wild. And that can happen with a creative idea too. We let it, without properly directing that idea, that creative flow, it will just run wild. You'll lose the idea. You'll lose the inspiration. It'll be gone to something else or somewhere else, or it'll never just be fruitful. And so where we're able to penetrate and then sit grounded with patience and presence to let something manifest into a tree that has fruit is where we see the proper placement of masculinity. And, you know, it happens in relationship. It happens in the creative kind of like work occupation space. You see it in sports. Shit, like you see the athlete, the Michael Jordans of the world, the Tom Brady's of the world. Who aren't they calm? Aren't they patient? They're so chill under pressure compared to the athlete or the team who's got that like almost insatiable urgency, and they're letting it slip through their fingers, but they look like they're trying hard. And it's like, why is this not working? They're trying so hard, but they're losing the connection to flow by intellectualizing and rationalizing something.
That's so wild. And to me, and this is so interesting, because I went for a jog right before our interview, and I was like, I was trying to think about this, because it was like the idea of finding a masculine role model, right? Because I was like, because I'm like, okay, you know, I'm about to have an interview with Chase. Like, you know, I was about to, like, one of the questions I was going to ask you was going to be like, you know, what's a masculine role model? And I started thinking to myself about it. And I kind of started thinking essentially in the line of what you're bringing up. And the ideas that kind of came to me were kind of like this, like, you know, Mission Impossible, Tom Cruise, or James Bond, or Jason Statham, and like his movies, where they hold that calm presence, and they just like, and Mission Impossible is the best because it's like this absolutely insane mission that they have to go on where they have to like detonate like four nuclear bombs in like 3 minutes of each other, right? Like after the sequence goes off or something. And, you know, I love it because there's a point, at least in the most recent one I watched, where Tom Cruise is just like, we'll figure it out. You just got to do the next thing. You know what I mean? It's like, just do the next thing, and then you'll see how it'll unfold into the next, whatever it is. You know what I mean? And I guess what it comes back to, and I'll let you get your piece in here about this, is just that being able to be okay with not knowing what the next step is, just knowing what this step is. You don't need to know two steps, just the first one.
Yeah, dude, spot on. I was just having a conversation actually with an OBGYN, and he's a holistic practitioner, and he's really taken this new approach to pregnancy and the birth process. And we were just kind of talking back and forth, and I like to speak in analogies because I'm a like recovering dumb jock who, you know, skipped and completely scammed my way through school and now have to like use analogy and examples to figure out my way through life.
Jesus used analogies this entire time. So I mean, and, you're on the right path.
Totally. And he was talking about how, you know, this guy's heavily decorated, you know, very educated. And he left the mainstream medical model and is now just likes to refer to himself as a helper, as a guide through this process. He's done away with giving people the script on pregnancy. Here's the steps A through Z on how you'll get through the forest that is pregnancy to the other side. And rather, he just wants to meet people in the forest. And I was using this example. I was like, okay, so you are meeting people in the forest. You've brought in your intellect. You've brought in your rational mind. Those are masculine. Here's the structure that I've learned. I've studied this. This is my intellectual, rational knowledge and logic that I have right here, right here in my tool belt, ready to apply. But we're in the forest. You can get through the forest in a multitude of ways. I've been through it before. I've been taught that this is how you get through it. But I'm going to be here with you to lean into your intuition, the feminine, and let's navigate our way through the forest. That is masculinity. I'm here. I have the tool of logic. I have the tool of rationale, but it's only in complement with the intuition, with the flirtatiousness of instinct that the feminine maintains, that you can navigate your way through life. And you don't have to do that only with a partner. You can do that with yourself. You can, as masculine as anybody, as any human, you can bring in your logic to your own thought processes, to your own meditative practice, to your own contemplative practice, and say, this is what I've studied. This is what I've heard. This is how I would structure it. Now let me lean into my intuition. Let me lean into that inner voice, that gentle, flowier version of myself that is my feminine, to come up with where my trajectory, you know, where my orientation really is suggesting I go.
And so what is that process kind of look like, right? Because I'm trying to think, like, in my life, you know, ages zero, well, zero probably doesn't count, let's say like 12 to 26 ish I was just like pure masculine, went the hardest fuck on the masculine sub forums that were beyond toxic, beyond belief, but I saw there was like some truth in them, but I couldn't understand what it was. Just toxic as shit, let's say. Around 25, 26 was when I started to balance it out. And then I think it was probably around, what would have been like 27, 28, when 27, whenever I like quit my job, I had no plan whatsoever, but I had this confidence that everything was going to work out. And so even in this conversation, it sounds like there's a level of the masculine mixed with the feminine right in that action of being like, okay, my intuition's telling me my job's not working for me. And my masculine saying basically, do whatever's calling to you and you'll be safe.
Conscious Monkeys, I need to bring your attention to this company that I've been using over the past few months, and probably longer now if you're hearing this, that has absolutely changed the way that I'm actually interfacing with the world. It's a company by the name of Conscious Technologies. And what they do is actually create these harmonizing units. And what it does is it actually takes the rotation of EMF frequencies that are in your area and harmonizes them. They make them in line with the true natural frequency of the universe around you. And they're incredible products. I actually went and I've tested out their quantum flow unit. I've tested out their meditation bed, their core harmonizer. And quite frankly, they were so incredible that I actually bought the cell phone EMF harmonizer for my cell phone. I was also lucky enough that Ross threw in a necklace as well. So I've been wearing that thing, and quite frankly, I'm even wearing it to bed, and my dreams have become so vivid and just intense that it's pretty insane. I honestly feel so grateful to have it. Their mission is to bring forth technologies that support the harmony of mankind and the world at large. Go check out their stuff. I mean, looking's for free. And if I'm being honest, if you click the link below and make a purchase, I do get some kickback, but quite frankly, I wouldn't be promoting it if it didn't work. So with that being said, go check them out. Conscious Technologies LLC. Link below. Now let's get back to the interview.
Is that because then in my mind, I've been seeing it that like, oh, well, since that moment, I've been mostly in my feminine with like creating and, you know, kind of taking a more creative route essentially. But even in this conversation, I'm finding that maybe I am more balanced than I actually thought. So I'm curious as to, and maybe this is where we come back to your story. I'm curious how you kind of view it from like a 50,000 foot view. And maybe that's the wrong way to view it, of how you find this balance within that masculine and feminine. Cause it's almost, I know I'm kind of rambling here, but it's almost kind of like a pendulum.
Yeah.
And I want to do my best to avoid, you know, pulling it all the way into the masculine and letting it go. And then it flying all the way into the feminine, because I feel like in an ideal world, it's sitting, you know, right in that middle zone, you know, ideally most of the time.
Yeah. I would say one, you're already over rationalizing the whole process. You know, you're uber masculinizing, like, okay, here's how it fits here. I need to get, if I'm 40% feminine, I need to be 50%, 53% masculine. Like that's already masculine. And it totally makes sense, because like when I work with my mentor, Paul Check, I'm constantly, you know, he's speaking about the soul and how to get in touch, you know, through art and everything. And I'm like, okay, but when I do this art, am I going to want to paint stroke left to right? What's the best angle? And he's like, you're missing the point. You're missing the point already. This is not about your art, you know? And so I'm giving you that feedback only because I know it well. I know it very well. I'm like, okay, how do I structure my own creative practice? Steps 1 through 10. And then it's like, oh shit, I'm missing the point already. You know, coming back to my experience, it's, understanding that it's literally one of like, hermetic principles, is there's this polarizing masculine and feminine in anything and everything we do. And so it's getting really familiar with those nudges of masculinity or femininity in myself through every lane. And for me, I had to tackle my fitness and wellness lane of life with this approach before I could do anything else. So a little bit about my story. I married my childhood sweetheart. And we were married in our early 20s for 3 years. We'd been together 10 plus years when we ultimately divorced at 26 years old. We split up, completely went our separate ways. There was a host of issues that led up to that after having just the most beautiful childhood romance you can imagine. And I had been in a really, really former athlete, just heavy exercise. I mean, HIIT workouts, hyper intensity, food manipulation, you know, hitting my macros and then fasting and cutting and just this freaking roller coaster ride of health. And it was all stress energy. It's masculine energy. It's push energy. And so my health dynamic was the perfect learning space for me as it pertains to the yin and the yang. I looked at it and was like, holy shit. I'm never resting. I'm never receiving. I'm never sitting in the feminine. I'm just pushing and stressing and uber masculinizing everything. And so after hitting adrenal exhaustion or adrenal fatigue in my late 20s and really learning the balance of receiving and restoration, and then sort of identifying that through Paul Check, who's been just my greatest teacher, I'm also looking at it, how does that live in other lanes of my life? Well, shit, my business is the same way. I was the work all hours of the night, get every promotion, get every bonus, push, pull, like, you know, push, to my own detriment. And same with the way that my marriage ultimately shook out. It was I'm going to make good money for us. I'm going to, you know, structure our dreams and our vision. And here's when we're going to buy a house. And here's when we're going to have kids and family and everything. And it was just uber masculine. Some of that, a taste of that is incredible. It's perfect for a relationship dynamic, but that all the time, I completely lost sense of my own feminine. And so for me, it had to start with my physical body, my mindset around exercise and nutrition, and just getting really familiar with what a feminine practice in a lane of life looks like. Once you have that data, especially if you're masculine, you love that feedback loop. You love having been through something where there's a little resistance, been through something that's a little unfamiliar, having gone through it, seen positive feedback from it. Once we get that feedback loop, we're like, this is confidence. I can do this in a million other spaces. So I'm almost thirsty for it. Okay, what's next? Well, it's the way that I look at work. I don't know if I should be at this financial consulting firm anymore. It's not giving me any avenue or any opportunity to receive and to rest. How do I mix this up? How do I pivot this? I did that with my work environment. Then it came all the way back to the way that I looked at my relationship to the feminine, to women, to the girls that I was dating, to my friends who were women, to my coworkers who were women, and ultimately led to how I was a part of resurrecting my marriage and getting back with the love of my life.
It's really fascinating because I can certainly relate to you on a workout level, on a personal work, like physical work level, where I forget what year it would have been. It was probably when I was like in my 24 or 25. I was training jiu-jitsu and lifting in the morning. So I was probably working out 10 to 11 times per week.
Yeah.
So like I would like lift in the morning, I would go to a sauna, I would go to work, but then I'd be super productive. And this is where that feedback loop comes in, is I'd be super productive. I would leave work, go to jiu-jitsu, go to bed, do the same thing tomorrow. And I did that probably 6 days out of the week. And then probably there's other days I was probably drinking on the side, so it wasn't helping recover me whatsoever. And so where was I going with that? Oh, and you get this positive feedback loop where two things were occurring. I was getting a physical positive feedback loop because I was like actually looking better. I was then also getting compliments for people for how I was looking, another positive feedback loop. And then I even got compliments because I started like posting on my Instagram story when I'd wake up at 5 a.m. I would post a picture like when I went to the sauna, like everything that my to-do list kind of deal. And it was, which I kind of do every now and then, but not as much. But I would get like this positive feedback from people because they're like, dude, we were talking about like how much you do. It's so like inspirational, da da da. It's so cool. But then to your point, it like it basically wore me into the ground where I actually had fatigue sickness as well. And I got sick for, I think, 5 weeks. Like I couldn't leave my couch. Mm. It was pretty bad. And I was like, what the fuck got me here? It's like, well, you worked out 12 times a week for the last like four months.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit. Yeah. That would do it.
Yeah. I was the same. Yeah. I was the complete same.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was the same. I was down for the count for weeks, lost 25, 30 pounds. And over the course of 4 to 6 weeks. Yeah. It's awful.
Well, so let's bring the feminine or the females back into this. What would you have said like your perception was with regards to women like during this time as well?
Yeah. So I would have always said that I had a deep respect and complete, you know, view of equality when it comes to like the male and female dynamic. Totally. But you don't know what you don't know, and you don't know your unconscious programming, and grew up in a world where it is male dominated. And so, and the evangelical world, even though I was never a practicing Christian, it's so grooming to the child psyche. And there's these roles of where women fit into the world, and where they fit into relationship that are just so deeply ingrained that they can start to manifest in your own relationships, whether you're a practicing Christian, whether you're a you know, traditional suburban American or not. You know, they're just so ingrained in the psyche, and until you have consciousness applied to it, you just won't pick up on it. So my partner and I, after having just a completely blissful childhood romance, it was play. It was absolute play. I mean, we're kids of the 90s, like suburban middle class America up in the Northwest, hitting the lakes in the summer, skiing on mountains in the winter, just having a blast. And we had it easy. I mean, we're like Disney Channel kids at the time, you know, late 90s, early 2000s. There's just like not a ton of stress in the world, you know? And we just jumped into marriage really young. And those little programs of what husband does, what wife does, those buttons don't get pressed until you step in. You know, we're like remote controls with these little buttons all over us. And my husband button was never pressed until I became one. And so all of a sudden I'm just like stepping into what a husband should act like. And when that husband button is pressed, it's been programmed by, you know, traditional suburban America husband, the kind of cold asshole, that you see on sitcoms and television and, or
I was just watching Flintstones the other day, and Flintstones dad always pissed. Making fists at his kids and shit. Yeah. I'm like, yo, this is where this comes from.
Right. Or it's like, it's you know, that very success driven, career driven, you have to make X amount of money. And then that's enough kind of as the contributor to a marriage. And so my views on the feminine, although I would have said like, total equality, we're completely equal. I have no attachment to you being a housewife or no attachment to you being, you know, subservient to me in any way. I did feel the resistance of when the feminine's freedom was expressed in our relationship. And that could have been even as something as simple as like, hey, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Maybe it's a lifestyle choice, or maybe she doesn't want to live where we were living, or even something as simple as like, hey, I want to start spending the money that I'm earning on clothes and purses and things that bring me joy. And that made no sense to me. And I was like, we have a plan. We have a dream. We have a dream to have all of these things. I see where this is taking away from that dream. Instead of allowing her expression, like she was desperate to feel free and wanted to do so through certain lanes, like, you know, when she wanted to buy a purse or something, having that freedom to do so. And so I found myself reacting, not conscious to it, reacting in a way that out of the groomed masculine that, you know, had been modeled, not necessarily by like my dad or anything. My dad's a beautiful, amazing man, but he's got limitations of kind of the world that we all have come from in the same way that many of us do. And it was just like kind of an aggregate of all these places. I grew up in an evangelical Christian environment. I grew up in a, you know, business town with lots of ego driven, chest pounding, dick measuring men. And my extended family is very much like the traditional, like tough, emotionless man, husband, father. And so I just didn't know those buttons were in me, and found myself on numerous occasions reacting, sitting back in contemplation and being like, damn, did I really just like get pissed about the fucking grocery list that it wasn't executed perfectly? Like, that's so lame. But it was so much so, and I had no ability to like, I became consciously incompetent and had no idea how to turn that into competence. And so it led to our divorce, in addition to a host of other factors. But that was definitely a contributing one. And so as I kind of rounded the corner into part two of what our relationship looked like, it was a lot of deep diving on what are these programs that are running, these ideas that we have subconsciously about how to show up into a relationship. How can we break those apart and restructure them in the way that we know is our dream?
So before we get to part two, which it sounds like that's a really powerful turning point in anybody's, you know, life, that sounds like that's that jump off into when you start like the spiral, almost when you start the spiral of ascending, I would call it. Before we get there, I have a question on what your opinion is about. And I guess I probably still think this a little bit, and it's more of like this viewpoint back on society as a whole. I mean, and maybe this is a justification, I'm not sure. The idea that, like, you know, men needed to provide and women needed to take care of the home kind of out of necessity. I mean, is there some form of dichotomy at play, like maybe biologically speaking, where that had to be the case and almost created this paradigm of this wounded masculine within our culture that then gets propagated out? And just now our society, our generation is actually figuring out that occurred.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Conscious Monkeys, are you looking for a CBD cream that actually works? I've tried many different CBD products and I've really never truly felt like any of them have worked for me. Like maybe there'd be like a little bit of tingling and then it would fade pretty quickly. Then came along Revive CBD. From the first time I tried it on, I could tell that there was something different about this product. I noticed that any joint pain I had was gone within minutes of applying it, and it lasted for a significant duration. I don't have an exact time for you guys, but do your own test. So if you're still looking for the right CBD cream, then this might be the right one for you, because if you resonate with my vibe, then maybe you'll resonate with this vibe. I actually kind of just made that up on the spot, so hopefully you liked it. Check out the link below. And as a side note, like always, the link below is an affiliate link. But again, I would not be promoting them if it didn't work for me. So hopefully it'll work for you. Again, check it out below, myrevive.com. Get yours today. And with that being said, Conscious Monkeys, let's get back to the interview.
Right. And I'm kind of thinking this out loud with you. It seems like the conditions that we evolved out of as a species would have required men with their attributes to do the provisional work, the hunting and the gap and the building and the getting in the deep, hard, physically tolling lanes of existing, just because we had the meat suit to do so. And so that for sure. And then you're talking about hundreds and maybe thousands or more years of that level of epigenetics. And now we're sitting here in 2022, having over the total course of history, a relatively recent transition into trying to figure out how to navigate these programs, that feels, maybe it's like, maybe no matter what you do, right? Like even if you balance the feminine and the masculine and you're, let's just say your partner is a female and she's sitting in her masculine most of the time, and you're like, okay, well, I'm going to work on my feminine then. I'm going to sit in my feminine. But you still have this freaking insatiable thirst to provide because it's so ingrained in your biology. I can definitely see that being the case. And if that is the case, fuck, you have every right to like figure out how that works for you and where you can provide. And having those really, I think, fun and nourishing conversations with your partner or those the people in your life where you say like, hey, I'm feeling this call to adventure. I'm feeling this call to provide. And I think it's going to be really important for me as an individual to be able to do that, to be able to put effort into it and then come through completion and have the feedback of being able to provide as an important piece of my evolution, of our relationship's evolution and my ultimate, you know, legacy. And I think that can definitely be at play, but I'm curious what your thoughts are.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's kind of what I've kind of always thought was, you know, that was kind of how society was structured. And I guess I'm having this thought now, right, where, you know, like we're saying, hunter-gatherer, you know, let's just make this easy, right? The feminine should just stay and watch the kid, nurture the kids. You know, I'm going to go out, hunt, get food, because the physical meat suit, which I love that, that we have the physical meat suit to actually go out, kill a lion, bring it back to eat. You know, but then even as like our technology has progressed, it almost... And not to mention, not just technology, but information as a whole, our ability to disseminate information. And then on top of that is another layer of just like our collective consciousness. And there's a book that I've read called A Happy Pocket Full of Money, which talks about wealth consciousness specifically, which is, you know, the idea to propagate wealth is to make more people aware of what it means to be conscious wealth or wealth, being conscious of how to generate wealth. Like, and so... You know, the reason I bring that up as an example is like, you know, we have had this emergence of wealth at a grand scale in our society. Like the rate of poverty has been absolutely diminished in the last 10, 15 years. Now, nobody would know that because they don't report good stuff on the news, but, and I'm not saying by any stretch of the imagination that we couldn't do more. I'm all for it. But the key is like since the year 2000, like poverty has been like decimated for essentially like the percentages are out of control, and I don't want to cite anything in particular, but the point that I bring that up is just that we're having such a revolution I see in technology and information and the conscious, like the enlightened consciousness of humanity, that I think it comes back to that we all want to be a part of the same picture. Like we want to try out being the stay-at-home dad, or we want to try being that person that provides for if you're a female, you know. So we almost want to be able to explore all dynamics of what it means to be human, regardless of our gender. And we want to be able to feel all those energies kind of at play.
Yeah.
Mostly because we've now been aware and the information has been provided to us that we can do it.
Sure.
And it just takes our conscious awareness to actually step into that state of being, to choose that you want that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Sometimes we mention to couples or talk to couples who're just simply asking, how do we work on our masculine and feminine and polarizing communication and practice? And, you know, we talk about doing the little things such that when you step into the big things, it becomes more natural. And like even something as simple, just practices in relationship, like even something as simple as, depending on who is interested in sitting in the feminine or the masculine hat, like choosing, okay, I'm going to take on the masculine role for this event. you're going to take on the feminine role, and we'll see how this goes. So an example would be like, we love to talk about adventure days when you have a significant other. You don't need to wait for a vacation. Choose a neighborhood in your community. Choose a new part of town. Choose a hiking location, a lake location, a water location, and choose this sort of like adventure day where it's unpredictable. You go park, or you locate yourself there and you spend hours just adventuring, seeing what happens. Maybe you find a coffee shop, lunch spot, hiking trail, sitting by the beach, whatever. And in that dynamic, establishing who is sort of going to be leading through the masculine structure of what it could look like, hey, I think we should probably, you know, go here. Or I have the day roughly planned where we'll spend this time navigating here. And then having the feminine sit in more of that intuitive practice, more of the receiving of that guidance, but also having the freedom to speak up where she's feeling or he is feeling an intuitive nudge. And just like using these micro examples to just practice those spaces and going just kind of like off of what you had said, maybe that's also a good practice of just like getting familiar on where you would like to innately or naturally sit. Like, man, I'm really feeling like I want to try out this I'm a man and I want to feel this feminine practice more so in my life. Maybe you practice it in small lanes like this. Maybe you take turns with your significant other or with other spaces in your life that allow you to be feminine and just like try it on for size.
It's an interesting way to kind of point it out. Because my mind, and I don't know, maybe it's just, I'm kind of trying to avoid to bring it up, but for some reason I feel like, well, I don't know. I guess I'm being called to bring it up, so maybe I should just bring it up. Is where my mind's kind of going. Yeah, as a disclaimer, I feel uncomfortable bringing this up for some reason, but I'm going to push through it because I know that's where growth is.
Yeah,
but it seems like this is where, like the relationship in the bedroom would come into play. Where it's like, you know, it's like I feel like that would be where, and maybe that's what you're saying, and maybe why I feel uncomfortable about bringing it up, is because that would be the most extreme place that you could almost try this thing, like where you are at your most vulnerable. And so maybe that's like, it starts off at a hike, but then like, I'm honestly getting anxiety. It's so funny. I'm actually kind of getting anxiety right now thinking about taking on a feminine role in the bedroom with a significant other.
Yeah. And honestly, like receiving is not my strength. So sitting in the feminine and receiving in life in general is not, I'm not comfortable there. There is resistance there. And the same as when, if we were to choose an adventure day and Megan, my partner, is sitting in her masculine, that's not going to be a very comfortable day for me. I'm just being honest. I can navigate into that space. I can sit in my feminine in certain lanes, especially when I know it's essential, when I need to nurture. But generally it's not natural for me. And so like, I'm just going to be honest, like especially if it comes to the bedroom and there's a conversation around like, hey, you're going to need to receive or be more in the feminine in the bedroom. I'm just going to be like, I'm really, really open. I'll try anything. I'll try anything once, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm feeling some resistance as it pertains to me receiving and being in the feminine when we're literally having sex. That is a challenge for me to think about energetically. I'm not even talking about the physicality of it. I'm just talking energetically.
Right.
And maybe that's the cave that I fear to enter the most. And there's a breakthrough on the other side of that. But in this moment, like I find my connection to relationship divinity, you know, that psychedelic experience of sexual connection in a relationship when I sit in my masculine. And I don't just mean like, you know, I'm on top, and I'm not meaning the literal like dynamics of the sexual intercourse. I just mean the energy that's being brought to that moment. And we talk about it all the time, but sex is all day. Sex is all day. And it's the way that you greet each other in the morning. It's the way that you do something for each other over the course of the day. You know, we work together because I work from home for my other gig. And it's been consciously committing to penetrating her from a balanced masculine perspective over the course of the day. It's coming in when she's working on something, you know, gauging the energy, but you know, giving her a kiss or just like whispering in the ear, like, man, I freaking love you so much. And it's that type of dynamic. So that the bedroom isn't this like arena where you need to feel nervous like you're walking into the state championship game. It can be this, it can be the byproduct. It can be the icing on the cake. The cake is every minute of every day. And if you're not, I'm not totally interested in being a complete, in my feminine during the sexual intercourse experience, but maybe I can be in this kind of sex all day atmosphere. And I can allow her to initiate sex. Like she can penetrate me as far as initiating the process. But I do feel more natural when I can then step into my masculinity, especially in the bedroom.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's really interesting. Because it seems like, I lost my train of thought there. .. maybe we just segue to part two, because I'm on board with what you're saying. I guess I'm trying to mentally rehearse kind of what we just talked about there, and it's like, I don't know, it's really interesting to me how that works, because it's kind of like that feeling of, like you even said, that cave that you don't want to enter. And so it's, I don't know, I guess I'm not really sure where to go with that conversation.
Yeah,
I guess it's a new one for me, so I'm just receiving.
Yeah, totally, dude. No, I appreciate you bringing it up. I haven't like had that conversation either, and how that, where my comfort level is with sitting in that space, especially as it pertains to a sexual practice or dynamic. I do know that like I'm just open and pretty much willing to try anything and everything, with the caveat of I'm going to give you feedback when there's resistance for me, or where I do try.
Gotta have a safe word.
Yeah, totally. And like, and that's every space for me. That's pretty much every lane. Like I'm interested in pretty much trying anything and everything, with the caveat that I'm going to let you know when it's not working for me. And I think that's a masculine practice, and it's in and of itself is just being like grounded, safe. Like I'm not going to lose my shit, but I'm safe. I'm confident in myself. I'm completely grounded, and I'm open, willing to try a lot of things, but I'm also going to let you know when the time is up.
Yeah. I love how you say that, because now what's getting resonated within me is like, whenever I tell the story of like quitting my job, no plan, the podcast kind of just formed after quitting my job. Whenever I tell that, I always tell people like, don't think that you need to quit your job. Like that could be absolutely terrifying for people. No right. backup plan, just quit my job. Like, are you insane? Like the answer to that question is like, yeah, maybe. But but the whole point of it is that like you got to kind of push your fear, but you got to push your comfort zone, but still not fall into the energy of fear or being afraid, because that's what's going to kind of snap you out of your own container. And then you're going to find yourself almost probably, I don't know if it's fair to say, in a more wounded masculine place than that. Like you might be more afraid to challenge your masculine energy.
Sure.
That's a new idea. But the core point being just like, you want to do stuff that makes you uncomfortable, but you don't want to be like afraid. You got to like balance that almost.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think getting comfortable being uncomfortable is a critical piece to just evolving masculinity and evolving as a human in general. But there is also like, I need to be pretty balanced before I step into this lane of discomfort or something a little bit unknown. And so like nurturing that place of balance, because that's when your vulnerabilities will get exposed and taken advantage of in the uncomfort, is when you are out of balance, attempting to evolve before you've sort of fixed or at least improved where you're at now. It's like, that's why I fix the roof when the sun is shining, so that when moments of challenge present themselves, you're equipped and balanced enough to step into that discomfort, to step into a little bit of the unknown, versus having, holes in your roof by the when those moments surface.
Right. It's well put. Let's I'm getting a ping that we should jump into part two of your whenever the upward, let's call it the upward spiral of spiritual enlightenment began.
Yeah.
So
yeah, totally. Take it away. So we're, like I mentioned, we're childhood sweethearts. We get married really young. Evangelical Christian background. I've never really subscribed to it, but I went to Christian school, kindergarten through high school, and went to a Presbyterian college. It ends up being a a piece of why we split up. You know, we get to the point where our relationship is just clunky. I'm a financial consultant. I'm traveling every Monday, every Friday. I'm on an airplane. I'm home for 2 days a week. We're living in Seattle, Washington. I have no connection to anything, no higher power of any kind. My partner, Megan, starts to become a problem. You know, we have disconnection in the relationship, and that becomes to be maybe like a thing we could point to. Wow, we have this disagreement and our views on God and religion. How are we ever going to raise kids together? Are we ever going to have kids? I don't know if I want to have kids with this person. And so a host of other things come into play. I get an opportunity with the financial consulting firm that I was working for to transfer to Southern California out of Seattle. And it's a no-brainer for me. I've dreamt about San Diego specifically for a long, long time, and had been looking for an opportunity to get down there. This was a perfect case. More money, great, you know, technical, great career. And so I say yes. And we get, this was, you know, 3-4 months along in Seattle, and you know, we're going to move to San Diego together. This is about 10 days before we were supposed to move. We had an apartment and everything. And my partner, Megan, says, I'm not going. And it's not only that, I want a divorce. I want this, you know, relationship to be over. And it was just complete surprise for me, just complete. I knew there was issues in the relationship, but I always, you know, we've been together forever. We've been together since we were 15 years old. We're going to work through this. And that was my own arrogance and my own ego and never attending to the little things in the relationship. So out of my ego and really out of just anger, I'm like, fine, I'm out of here. I'm going to go crush it in the world. It's going to be the worst decision you ever made. And I just jump into my car and grab my TV and my clothes, and I drive down to Southern California and start my new life at 26 years old after having been with only ever one person ever, literally never kissed another girl. And so I went full revenge mode.
You're in for a treat. You're in for a treat in San Diego.
Yeah, yeah. And it was exactly that. That's exactly that. I was like, well, let's see what 26 years old with a good job and decent money and you know, handsome enough.
Do some damage.
Let's see what happens. And I just leaned into that. I worked so much. I worked out all the time, nonstop. And I really pushed it, like socially, you know, and I was just numbing with all of those lanes, numbing this just profound, brutal pain from losing the love of my life and having no ability to even feel it, to even allow myself to feel it, except for anger. And my own internal frustration with how far away I'd gotten from the best version of myself, how far away we had gotten from this completely blissful, beautiful relationship. And so I spend a year and a half doing kind of this very masculine push on life, and I hit my adrenal exhaustion and just really start wondering. Like I said, the first lane for me had to be health and wellness. That was the one thing I was interested in enough. Interested in spirituality. I wasn't interested in relationship work, but I could see my physical body needing help. And so I jumped into the world of I'd always been like a Joe Rogan listener and a big fan of podcasts. And I'm like, well, I'm going to learn through podcasts. That seems to be the way I do things. And so, you know, Ben Greenfield, Sean Stevenson, Mind Pump Media, this is like 2016 timeframe. I get really into like podcast culture, fitness culture, learn all about what I'd probably done to myself through crazy intermittent fasting and working out way too much and too much pre-workout and all those bullshit supplements and started working with a holistic practitioner. Anyway, it just came to me that I needed to leave the financial firm that I was working for. And I had, through this sort of like community of holistic wellness, met some really beautiful people in San Diego that had just started a little startup company selling a green juice powder called Organifi. And I was hanging out with them all the time and started helping them out as a contractor, you know, setting up their kind of business infrastructure and their financial capabilities. And I just fell in love with the people, fell in love with the product. The product was, you know, it's an ashwagandha-based product and I'm trying to heal my adrenals. And so it was just a match made in heaven for me. And I left financial consulting and took a 50% pay cut and started at a crazy startup called Organifi, which just gave me the tools to change my freaking life. It was a I went there for the free product and the fun people, and ended up with just a full blown personal and spiritual development through just some very, you know, beautiful people in that network, you know, other people that we had known, book clubs, and just a profound, you know, meditative, contemplative practice that really started to allow me to evaluate these things that I'd been compartmentalizing all the way back to when I was a boy and compartmentalizing my own lover, masculine archetype. And, over the course of time, I'm just slowly healing. I'm working and nurturing my relationship with the feminine through my coworkers and through some really amazing people that I got the fortune of hanging out with and even dating at times. And sure enough, like my ex-wife, Megan, she goes by Mimi. We just start texting each other because she heard that I was at Organifi and she's listening to podcasts. She hears about the brand. We organically just start bullshitting about superfoods. She had actually, very similar to myself, hit adrenal exhaustion, had been working out, you know, going out, living that a very similar lifestyle, and hit adrenal exhaustion, quit her career, and had found a passion for medicinal mushrooms.
Bunches of monkeys. If you're looking to start your own podcast, I have the two tools that you need to use to get that show on the road. And the names are Buzzsprout and Riverside. I'm combining these into one ad because, you know, I've honestly had nothing but the best for them. But if you're going to be using one of them, you might be using the other one. So what Buzzsprout is essentially the platform that I use to put my podcast out there. It's the reason you can hear this. That's the reason that I appear on all these different directories. The thing you might also need is that if you're interviewing people, you're going to need Riverside as well. And quite frankly, I'm using it right now to even just record these podcasts because they will even dilate in. I don't think that's the right phrase for it. They will harmonize your voice so that it sounds equivalent. So if I start talking quiet at one point, they have a built-in editor that will actually make your voice sound crisp. I highly suggest Buzzsprout and Riverside. Go check out the links below in the description. And like always, these are affiliate links, so I do get a minor kickback if you do sign up with them. However, like always, they are incredible. The support has been on point and they always get back to me, so I highly recommend them. If you have any questions, they're there to help. So with that being said, go check it out in the link below and let's get back to the interview.
And so she went to a nutrition school and had been looking into adaptogens and superfoods. And so she was doing that independently, educating and doing some affiliate sales for medicinal mushrooms. I'd been at Organifi. We just started like talking as friends, nothing about the relationship. And sure enough, we end up at a health conference, just coincidentally at the same, it was called Natural Health, Natural Products Expo West. And we end up at this conference in Anaheim, California, and spend a couple days together. And I think it was by day three, we find ourselves, I'm waiting out traffic and we're sitting in her rental car. And we just start talking about real shit, like, and both getting to the point where like, I am so sorry. Like I had no tools. I had no idea what I was doing. You know, I've regretted this. And that night I grabbed her face and stared her in the eyes and I just said, I love you. And I kissed her. And then I drove back to San Diego and she went back to Seattle and it was like, whoa, what the hell was that? It's funny because like months before that, I'd felt like there was finally closure. It was finally closure for me. And that was like a huge, like, oh my God, what was that? What is that? Long story short, about 2 months later, we basically talked through over the course of 2 months, like I'd let her know, like that wasn't just a kiss for me. That was like really, really deep. And I'm contemplating what it would look like if we weren't divorced to be together. And I really mean that. And she had felt the same. And we were just talking through the potential of what if for about 2 months, what if, what if, what if, and there were all these things. You can't do Jeez. This. People don't do this. And we just finally said, it was actually Easter day of 2019. We just said, fuck it, let's do it. We're back together. And then about in August of that year, we went to Burning Man and then she moved in. So August 2019, we'd been divorced for 3 years. She actually moved back in on our, it would have been our sixth wedding anniversary. Just completely coincidental.
No way.
Moved back in or moved in to my place.
Jeez, and dude.
And the rest is history. We did some serious work in getting back together and very, very intentional before we then started talking about all of it on our podcast. And I think we started right before the pandemic, early 2020.
That's wild. I mean, look, I knew like absolutely nothing about Twin Flames, but that story screams to me like a Twin Flame story.
Yeah. And I don't, you know, it's people like Christina who let me know like, oh my God, you guys are totally Twin Flames. And I don't really know either what that completely means. But everything I have heard, it feels like that. We've done some cool, like, past life regression, and worked with some individuals who interpret like art, and some workshops that we've been through, multiple indications and multiple pieces of feedback from people who witness our relationship or witness our art that say like, you guys are complete soul matches. You've spent multiple lifetimes together. And we've had some pretty incredible experiences on plant medicine where that's been validated. And so, yeah, I would agree with you.
That's wild. I mean, look, I would love to get into plant medicine. I would love to, get into that even deeper. I honestly don't know a lot about Twin Flames personally. So
yeah,
that's going to be my barrier to that conversation for now. But furthermore, I know you got to get out of here soon. Before you do that, can we at least wrap it up on the archetypes? And
yeah,
I've like glanced over that book, The Four Archetypes.
Oh, yeah.
I've glanced over it. So if you could give like a high level understanding, and then we'll get you out of here.
Oh man, it's such a staple for men. And it's not the Bible by any means, you know, it's not like exclusive. This is the masculine archetype of every single man in the world or every single masculine. And in fact, there's unlimited archetypes. There's masculine and feminine and you know, the complete tarot decks worth of archetypes within all of our psyches. I'm convinced of it. But this is a really nice, concise way to talk about some. And archetypes exist kind of like in tiers. There's, you know, these sort of like sub archetypes of a larger archetype, right? Like you can have the feminine archetype, but a sub archetype of that would be the mother. And then there's different versions of the mother and so on and so forth. But king, warrior, magician, lover is just a classic pillar masculinity book that describes these four primary archetypes of masculinity and their various shadow versions or their out of balance versions, as well as their immature versions. So there's like child archetype, adult archetype, and with each child and each adult archetype, there's a balanced or a shadow version of them. And I don't remember all of them off the top of my head, but for instance, the out of balanced king archetype would be a tyrant. That would be one version of an out of balanced, or on the opposite side of being out of balanced. I think it's like it's the sheepish, like the pushover king who is run by the evil witch, right? Like in the myths and the stories that we hear of, they're completely manipulated by the witch. And then there's an immature version of that, which would be the prince, which is the balanced, like immature masculine archetype, or the out of balance, which would be like the high chair tyrant, who's this vicious sort of dictator child sitting from their high chair seat, wanting all the wanting all the admiration of being a decision maker, but wanting nothing to do with the process of earning that. And it goes through each one of these for the warrior, which is very much based in the natural feeling of, especially in times in our life, I think men feel this in their 20s and 30s often, where it's like, I'm kingdom building, I'm achieving, I'm accumulating, I'm acquiring, and I'm winning, and I'm getting wins under my belt. That's a very natural archetype to sit in. Oftentimes, it doesn't do well with relationship because you're very, you know, project focused, and it talks about what each one of those can look like. You can be the warrior who's out of balance and raping and pillaging. Or you can actually sit in balance and have this sort of like natural completion of a project type way that you behave. And then the lover as well. I think, you know, the lover is one that's completely dormant in our society too often. And the only time it does show up is in its out of balance version, which is like the fuck boy. It's the chronic serial dater. It's the guy who has a killer first date, but there's no follow through. It's the one night stand guy. It's the you know, send me nudes guy. It's like the worst, the freaking worst. I can't stand these humans. But we all feel, we've all felt that. And we've also like seen it happen and wonder if that's what we should be doing. And then the magician is the wise man. It's the wisdom keeper. It's the hermit, if you will, that has accumulated experience, that understands alchemy, and it's that ability to step into these environments and pick up on energies and know where to fit. And so it's kind of this combination between the intellectual and the intuitive that makes them this sort of like alchemist of these different energies. And it's a fun read. It's an easy read. Most men that I know resonate really, really deeply. It talks a lot about the importance of a rite of passage. The rite of passage for immature to mature masculinity is literally like the only way that you can go from a prince to a king. And so these general principles, although they're not literal, they're not going to give you steps on how to, you know, work on your king. It's just it's a very resonating read because you can see yourself through these mythical archetypes.
It's like a framework almost.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Like here's what the border is. If you're feeling like kind of like this energy, you're kind of in this spot
per se. Yeah. And I've it's a fun practice with a handful of guys that I've worked with, just talking through each. You know, you look at them as like triangles. There's the immature version and the mature version, and the out of balance would be like the bottom left and the bottom right of the triangle, and the top would be the balanced version. And it's just like simple exercise of talking through where those show up in your life and what are the potential avenues for balancing those out of balance versions. Or if you're balanced but you're immature, where's the rite of passage? Where's the crossing of the threshold into maturity in your life? How can you start looking for it, picking up on it, such that you can evolve this attribute or archetype of your own masculinity?
Yeah, and even to expand on that, I think it would really help. And I'm just thinking back on this. I didn't really give it a whole lot of attention when I was going through that phase, but I think it could really help with understanding the dynamics of energy within yourself. Because I know when you're in a wounded masculine in general, you're told to not pay attention to feelings. You don't feel, you don't do this. And right. So in reading that framework, you can almost feel how those energies play out within you as you read the book, and therefore become more in tune with your feminine energies.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Love it. Well, Chase, I always give people the floor for a little bit. If you want to just plug anything, I'm going to grab your links. So I'll throw all your links down in the description. But anything you want to say to people to encourage or put the cherry on top of the cake, the floor is yours. Yeah,
total. I so appreciate that, man. Our passion lives in podcasting and long form conversation. Although I have coached and work with individuals, I don't want to be a coach. Like I want to be a friend who's fucking in this work with you. I might be a couple of steps ahead, a couple of steps behind. I might be right with you. But I'm in a very student lane of my life, and it is medicine for me to be able to just be open about that. And I'm so grateful for the platforms that we have through the podcast primarily. And I really push myself to be a little more engaged on social than what I want to be, just so that I can, you know, continue to nurture that practice. But as far as plugs, like we love listeners, we love feedback, DMs. It's just nourishment for everything we're creating. We also have some fun products. Mushrooms are a critical piece to our relationship. That's literally our logo right there for those of you watching. And they brought us together. They were the conversation point that got us to start talking with each other. They've been healing for our bodies, both of us using medicinal mushrooms for recovering of adrenal exhaustion, and then as a plant medicine in the psychedelic space, have been just beautiful teachers and catalysts for us to connect on multiple levels outside of the 3D and the physical. And so with that, it's been a passion for us to have that element as our business. We have a highly, highly effective and rare medicinal mushroom product called Immune Intelligence AHCC. And it's a derivative of shiitake mushrooms that's like highly, highly effective for immune support for even like, you know, HPV and some other like viral challenges that people are going through have been incredibly effective. And we are launching this summer, actually, super exciting, a mushroom latte. So we've got tremella mushroom, which is super good for hydration and skin. And we've got chaga mushroom. We have over a gram of mushrooms in this product. And we've mixed it up with some of our favorite superfoods, elm bark, cinnamon. We've got coconut milk powder, and it's super delicious. A little bit of maple sugar, so organic maple sugar. No stevia, no monk fruit, no other sweeteners. And it is freaking killer. So we're hoping to have that thing going by mid-July or August. And so, yeah, trying to add just something we're so passionate about to this podcast business and through the form of a physical offering of medicinal mushrooms.
I love that, man. And for anyone who doesn't know much about mushrooms, go on Netflix, check out Fantastic Fungi. Highly recommend that. That'll get you the... Go ahead.
We interviewed the creator of Fantastic Fungi on our show. And then what's funny is when we were at Burning Man in 2019, we ended up spending about a day with Paul Stamets, who's featured pretty heavily in the documentary. We were at his camp, and it was so fun. And so I feel really connected to that. I'm so grateful that that piece is out there and educating the world on the power of not just medicinal mushrooms, like Racy and Cordyceps and Lion's Mane and some of these others that we love, but you know, the power of psilocybin and what it's being done to just heal and connect and nurture empathy for the world that we all live in. And so, yeah, mushrooms are our allies and one of our favorite medicines, if you will.
And I mean, a medicine for not only your spirit and, you know, but it's been a medicine for the earth in a sense what Paul did with like the oil spills and it's incredible. I mean, dude, I mean, Chase, you're gonna have to be back on because we'll have to have a whole mushroom conversation now. Once we get our masculinity healed, we'll dive in the world of psychedelics.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, and so the medicine podcast, no E on the end of medicine, themedicine.com, you can check that out as well. My partner Mimi is very active on social, and she's putting out just amazing content and information all the time. She is Mimi_themedicine. And then I'm on Instagram as well. the_Chasen_1, or you can just look up Chase or Amy. I'm really intentionally trying to lean into that a little bit more as a, you know, engagement vehicle, for myself. So I love DMs. Hit me up, with anything.
Dude, TikTok, like I can dissect. I'll help you out. I'll give you some tips of what's helped me, but like,
yeah,
I don't think there's a better machine to, make it happen. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Cause I'm like,
it's been absolutely insane.
Yeah. I'm like a little resistant to it just because it's like, oh, I spend enough time on devices all day, but I know it's used correctly, a powerful teaching, educating connection tool. And so it's like, we have all these amazing technologies that I think we demonize too much and maybe rightfully so. But they're also just like incredible vehicles for spreading goodness and light and connecting to
other amazing people. Balance.
Yeah.
It comes back to the balance of it. Are you like wasting your time on it, just scrolling through it? Then yeah, you're right. It is a terrible thing. But if you're using it to connect and produce, like for instance, man, I'm telling you, this video, I had like 3,000 followers on TikTok. After this video, I'm up to like, I think like 25,000 was the last time I saw it. And dude, it's not stopping. It's kind of toxic too, because like, I'll be honest, like you got to be ready for it, because like there's some dicks in the comments. So I kind of got pushed away. Yeah, it's pretty toxic in that sense. But you know, listen, if you're trying to promote a product, like that's in my opinion, that's
cool.
That's where everyone's at right now. So
cool. Yeah,
I can give you tips offline, of course. But
yeah, for sure. Definitely check that out. That's awesome. And then I'm also the I'm in leadership at Organifi still. So I'm still hanging on at Organifi. So if you've ever tried the product, and I'm not sure if you've ever had it, they're so killer and they're super fun. I'll make sure to hook you up. I'll send you some. But anybody listening, or if you want, I can get you a code for show notes and things of that nature. But Organifi is just killer superfood adaptogen blends that taste delicious. We're literally one of the original like green juice powders that were out there. And
then is Organifi different than the mushroom thing?
Yes.
Those are two different things.
Okay. Yeah. So Megan, Mimi, my podcast host, my ex-wife, who's now my just my soulmate. We own the medicine and have the two mushroom products, one of the latte and then the shiitake mushroom derivative, and then Organifi, which I've been with for 5 years, pretty close to this since the start. We've got a ton of different like superfood adaptogen blends for drink consumption, like green juice. We've got protein powders. We have like an energy drink, red juice, and they're just top of the line, super quality products.
I love it, man. I'm down to try it out.
Yeah,
especially the mushroom stuff, man. I'm all about trying new mushrooms.
yeah, for sure.
Well, guys, this was Chase. We got to get it. I'm out of here. He's got other mushrooms to work on and whatnot. So check out all of his links below down in the show notes. Chase, this was awesome, man. I think we definitely made some progress with the terms in like wounded masculine. I know I've learned, so hopefully someone else has learned as well.
Bro, I'm really grateful for this platform and just the conversation. Like we're not having enough of these where we're just kind of working through things together, and I'm grateful for that. I never want to just come in like with an outline and agenda and executing on 5 bullet points and feel like it's a TEDx talk. You know what I mean?
And sounds so, very masculine.
Yeah, totally. And so I'm just grateful for the freedom and the opportunity to be able to kind of like work through some of these topics together. And I think that's what so much of us need is we need long form. We need to figure things out through a little bit of a push and a little bit of a pull and a little bit of a massage. We're a transactional world who wants the answers like this. We want to put in inputs and get an output that's, you know, based on the expectation that we have. And I think what's important is leaning into the nuance and a little bit of the gray area and a little bit of the unknown and just being able to feel our way, you know, through it. It's that penetrating masculine, but containing, if you will.
Well, right. And I mean, not to go back to TikTok, but like, that's the one issue I see with it is that I love talking about such complex ideas and then I try to shove them into a 60-second or a 3-minute thing. And it's like, people will nitpick like the smallest thing. And it's like, all right, well, like can't go down this rabbit hole in 3 minutes, but making it work.
And if so, you know, like I tell myself this all the time because the emphasis to have like quick bits, you know, get your information out there and give them something in short term. If that means it's going to bring in people who want short term results or short term answers into the community that we're building, maybe that's not actually what I want to recruit. Rather, I want to bring in people who are willing to put the work in, are willing to know that growth is long form in nature. And it's kind of a red flag if you get that sort of immediate positive response in a lot of ways, because it might mean diminishing returns in the future. So it's like, yeah, what you put out will come back to you, right? And I definitely resonate with you there.
For sure. I think that's a beautiful way to put it. And we could go down the TikTok rabbit hole because I'm thinking of something to add to that, but we'll just leave it at that for now.
Conscious Monkeys. I've got something out there for all my coaches, anybody who has digital courses, anybody who's creating content, whether it's audio or video, you got to check out SuperPass. SuperPass is the super dope platform that I've been using now, and they're actually what has enabled my app to work. It's what's enabled me to start generating income and to help people more effectively. If you are a content creator, you create audio, video, whatever it may be, SuperPass might be the choice for you because they'll provide you with your own app and they have a great online service to also help you out. So I'm not going to put in too much because everything they do is way too much to pack into this one ad. I will say go click the link below because that is where you'll be able to find all the information. This is an affiliate link and I wouldn't be promoting them if it didn't help me. Click the link below and go check out SuperPass. With that being said, Conscious Monkeys, let's get back to the last segment of the interview.
Totally.
But Chase, thanks again. Conscious Monkeys, go check out all of his links below. Super dope conversation. Definitely gonna have to try out the mushrooms and the Organifi and listen to one of the Catch Up with Clayton episodes in the future, because I'll definitely let you know my opinion of it. And I won't hold anything back. I'll be brutally honest with you.
please do. Please do, my man.
With that being said, Conscious Monkeys, if you made it to this point, thank you. Super grateful for you. And I will see you guys in the sixth dimension.